No matter how unsettled, unstable, or troubled your life may become, there is one point of stability you can always turn to. The Lord never changes. He's always the same. Amen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. As we consider the testimony of God in the lives of the saints in the Bible, this morning we're going to consider Samuel, only we're going to consider the testimony of God in him as a young boy. The testimony of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for being always the same. There are many things that change in our lives, many things that cause us to be unsteady. We falter sometimes, we waver sometimes, we doubt sometimes. But thank you, Lord, that we can always turn to you and find that point of stability in our lives, for you are always the same. And thank you for men and women recorded in your word who understood that and were able to stand firm in their faith in you. Thank you for this person, Samuel, who not only as an adult served you well as a prophet, but as a child was able to be used of you. Teach us and speak to our young people this day. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of our young people, that they would understand. They do not have to wait until they grow up to be used of you. They are not just the church of tomorrow. They are a vital part of the church today. Help them to understand what you want to do through their young lives, and teach us all to be more sensitive to your call in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Why do the armed forces have basic training? Wouldn't you fellows have rather gotten into your position now without having to go through all of that? No. Oh, I guess that's the right answer. You do not want unproven soldiers on the battlefield. You want men and women who have been tested and proven before they go into battle, so that when they need to be strong in the midst of all of the things they must do engaging the enemy, their commanders will have every confidence they can do the job. Now, Samuel was very young. And he's about to go through basic training, because when he is going to be used of God, God wants him to be a proven servant, ready to serve. He starts him out at a very young age. Let's talk a little bit about the things that were taking place in the days when Samuel was born and before this event occurs in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel's mother, whose name was Hannah, was not able to have children. Tells us about this in the first chapter of 1 Samuel. She lived in the town of Ramath-am-Zophim. Ever hear of that place? Well, you have, but not under that name. In the New Testament, the same town is called Arimathea. Does that ring a bell? A man named Joseph came from the town of Arimathea, and he's the one that asked for the body of Jesus when Jesus had died upon the cross. This is the same town where Hannah lived. Hannah lived there with her husband Elkanah. And every year she went with her husband to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was set up. It was a journey of a little more than 20 miles from Arimathea to Shiloh. And they would go there once a year to offer sacrifices to the Lord. On one particular year, Hannah prayed earnestly that the Lord would give her a child. And she promised God that if he would give her a child, she would return the child to him to serve him. The Lord answered her prayer, and she had a son. She named him Samuel. And the scripture tells us that when she had weaned the child and he was old enough to do a few basic things for himself, she went on that journey 20 plus miles and delivered him to the high priest Eli, where little Samuel would begin his service to the Lord. Now, we don't recognize 1 and 2 Maccabees as scripture, but they may serve some value of historical information. And in 2 Maccabees, it tells us that Samuel was about 3 years old when Hannah deposited him at the tabernacle. Can you imagine? 3 years old, away from his mother, away from his home, now serving under a very old man, Eli, the high priest. Eli was 98 years old when he died. We might not have a precise time as to how old he was when Samuel came to live with him and serve under him, but he's getting to be rather elderly at this point for sure. So little Samuel, 3 years old perhaps, is now serving in the tabernacle under a very old man, who, by the way, did a very poor job in taking care of his own sons. They were a mess. Eli was the high priest. Because of his age, we can determine approximately when he was born, or the things that were going on at the time of his birth. Eli was 7 years old when Gideon judged Israel. Now, I know that might not quite compute as to how far back that was, but after Gideon died, there were 8 more judges in Eli's lifetime. Eli lived during the time period of 9 judges of Israel, and some of them judged for quite some time. Eli's sons, however, were absolutely corrupt. Even though Eli was the one who was responsible for once a year going into the Holy of Holies and offering the blood upon the altar on top of the mercy seat, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, Eli's sons were a total disaster. Now, Eli knew they were bad, and he confronted them, but to no avail. They wouldn't listen to him, and God held Eli responsible for his son's failures. A prophet came along one time and told Eli that he was guilty of honoring his own sons above the Lord. Then here in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Precious. Well, of course, we think the word of the Lord is precious all the time. What does he mean? The word of the Lord is precious in those days. It's not precious today. The word precious in this case is equivalent to the term that we use, precious gems. Why are certain stones called precious gems? It's because they're very hard to find. They're rare. And their rarity makes them extremely valuable. That's the use of the word here. The word of the Lord is precious. It was rare. It was hard to find. It says there was no open vision. God was not speaking to any prophet. He was quiet. There was silence from heaven. Now, Samuel is a child, it says in verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. How old is Samuel now in 1 Samuel chapter 3? If he was 3 years old when he was dropped off at the tabernacle by his mother to serve the Lord, how old is he here? The general consensus is that he's about 12 years of age. Josephus, remember that Jewish historian of the first century, says that he was 12 years of age, and there is no evidence or no reason to suggest anything otherwise. So it looks like Samuel's about 12 years. He's been here now for approximately 9 years as a 12-year-old boy. Samuel's full-time occupation as a child is serving the Lord. It says he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. What was a child doing? He would have been responsible for opening and closing doors and lighting and trimming lamps and filling them with oil and various menial tasks of that nature. It also appears that he was the personal attendant to Eli himself. And we see in the text of the record that he slept near enough to Eli's bed, that he would be able to hear Eli when Eli called to him. It also tells us that Samuel does not yet know the Lord. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel knew about God. He knew who God was. He was serving God. He was serving the Lord in the tabernacle. But he did not know the voice of God. Samuel was familiar with the ways of God. He would be learning the law. He knew all the regulations of how to perform sacrifices in the temple, as Eli the high priest was the one whom he served under. Now, Samuel was not of the tribe of Levi, so he would not have become a priest. But he was serving under the high priest, and certainly by the age of 12, having been there for 9 years, he would be very familiar with all of the particulars of the service of the tabernacle, of the law as it was given to Moses. But Samuel was not acquainted with personal contact with God. That is about to change. Eli lies down to go to bed. Samuel goes to his bed and he lies down. It's night, it's dark, and it's quiet. Samuel hears his name, Samuel, Samuel. The only one close enough to call his name would be the high priest Eli, and he was Eli's personal attendant. He's assuming that Eli is called, and he hops out of bed. He runs over to Eli's bed. He says, "Here am I, you called me." And Eli is starting to get a little drowsy, and he's thinking, no, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Eli shrugs his shoulders. Samuel goes back. He lies down. It gets quiet again. A little time goes by. Samuel may start to get a little drowsy. Maybe Eli's beginning to fall asleep. Samuel! Samuel! He hops out of bed. He runs over to Eli's bed and he says, here am I, you called me. And Eli rolls over. Have you ever been just about in that place where you're almost asleep, but you're not really asleep, and somebody tries to talk to you? And Eli's saying, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel walks back over. Maybe shrugs his shoulders, sits down on the side of his bed, lays down. And once again, the third time, he hears it distinctly. It's a voice. And someone's calling his name. And the only one close by that it could possibly be is Eli, the high priest. Samuel, Samuel. He hops up again. Off he goes. And he comes to Eli's bed. Here am I. You called me. And finally, Eli gets it. See, he knows Samuel. Samuel's a special young lad. He has such a heart for what he is doing. He has served faithfully as a little child. He has served faithfully, so unlike his own sons. Eli cannot mistake the difference between the rebellious heart of his own sons and the tender heart of this child. Eli is the spiritual leader of the nation. Well, supposed to be. Not doing very well. And he is the one of all of the people of the nation of Israel that are particularly aware that there is no open vision. God isn't speaking to anyone. The silence of the Lord is deafening. He knows he hasn't been calling Samuel. But by the third time that Samuel runs to his bed, declaring he has clearly heard his name called, Eli gets it. Samuel is just exactly the kind of person that God would call upon, Eli thinks to himself. The Lord is calling Samuel. So he says to Samuel in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel is filled with anticipation. He knows about the Lord. I know it says in verse 7 that he does not yet know the Lord. But he knows about the Lord. He knows why they're at the tabernacle. He knows what they're doing in offering sacrifices to the Lord. And now the prospect of actually hearing the voice of the Lord must be building anticipation in Samuel's heart. Do you get it? Samuel is filled with anticipation to hear what God is going to say. Do you have that kind of anticipation every day when you think of reading God's word? Wow, I can't wait to hear what he's going to say today. Or do we just take it for granted? Oh, I need to read my Bible today. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Done. It's too often. that we take this book for granted. We must understand that while God was going to speak to Samuel in an audible voice back in his day, he speaks to us with a written voice in our day. This is God's voice. This is his word. It came out of his mouth. It came from his heart. This is the mind of the Lord. And in the same way that Samuel waits to hear the voice of God call his name and speak to him, we should have great anticipation to get to the word of God, say, I can't wait to read the Bible today to see what he's going to say. We should love the voice of God and love the words he speaks. Samuel goes back to his bed. He lays down in his place. And then it comes. The voice of the Lord speaks his name once again as it did before. Samuel! Samuel! And Samuel is ready, having been instructed by the high priest Eli. He answers, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord spoke to him, but the words the Lord spoke to him filled Samuel's heart with fear. Here's what God calls upon Samuel to do. Verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. God says, I'm about to give you a message, and when you relay this message to the people, the people's ears are going to tingle. Verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house. I get the idea from what it says that Samuel didn't sleep after that. He just lay there. God has spoken to him. What message is God going to speak to me? Well, it wasn't a very happy message. Here for 9 years of his life, the only family he has known is this old man. And I would venture to say that this old man Eli has loved Samuel. Because Samuel is so different than his own sons. And he sees in Samuel what he wanted to be in his own sons. But he had no idea how to get it into his own sons. Samuel just seems to have it naturally. He just loves serving the Lord. Samuel is such a congenial person. He's so willing. And I venture that Eli just loved this little boy. And Eli is the only family that Samuel has known since he's 3 years old, and now he's 12 years old. And now God calls upon him to deliver a message to Eli of judgment and the destruction of his house. And at the end of verse 15, it says, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Samuel willingly responded to a voice, even when it interrupted his sleep. Think of that, children. You're asleep, and your parent says, "Wake up, I've got something for you to do." You wake up like, "Well, I don't want to do it." You ever react like that? Wake up, it's time to get ready for the day, for school, for whatever. "I don't want to get out of bed." Samuel willingly responded. Didn't matter what time of day or night it was. He just had a heart to willingly respond. And each time his name is called, he gets out of bed, runs to Eli, says, "Here am I." He just has a willingness about him. And he willingly listens to the strange new voice of the Lord. Eli says, "Go lie down. He will speak to you." And Samuel's not intimidated at all about that. He just says, "Speak, thy servant heareth." He's so willing to listen to the voice of the Lord. But all of a sudden now, with a message that he has been given, and the message to whom it is to be given, this is hard. It's hard for Samuel. Eli's like a father to him, a grandfather at least. Now I have to give him this message of judgment. And Samuel has a choice to make. As a 12-year-old boy, Samuel has a choice to make. He feared to give the message to Eli. And Samuel didn't have to. He could have chosen to walk away. But what would have been the consequences? Could Samuel have been a faithful prophet later if he fails this test? When you fellows went through basic training, were there certain physical things you had to pass? How many pull-ups did you have to do? A lot. Could you do them when you started? Yeah. You could. Look at that. And they passed. One thing I could never do, even in the strongest time of my life, and there was a time I had a few more muscles than I have now, I could never do pull-ups. I could never pull myself up. I wouldn't have passed. Samuel had a strength test to pass. He's only 12 years old. But God says, "Listen, if you're going to be a prophet, I need a strong man to be a prophet." Can you do this, Samuel? Can you take this message to Eli? The person in your life that you're closest to, can you take this message to Eli? And Samuel feared to take it to Eli. But he feared the Lord more. And in spite of how difficult was the task, Samuel had the strength of character and strength of will because of his respect for the Lord to do what needed to be done. One thing that helped, of course, was that Eli insisted upon knowing what the Lord had said. Verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Eli wants to know. The thing of it is, Eli already has an idea of what's about to be said. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Eli says, let him do what seemeth him good. But Samuel passed the test. At a very early age, Samuel was isolated from his home and his family and served the Lord under a very old man who had done a very poor job managing his own children. Samuel was called upon at the age of 12 to do a very difficult task. Tell this very old man, who was the only family he had known from age 3 to age 12, that God was going to judge him severely. Why didn't God tell Eli personally? Couldn't have God spoken to Eli and said, here's the message? Why did God call on a young child to do a prophet's job? Because if Samuel passes this test, Samuel will show the Lord he will be useful to him for even greater things to come. In spite of his age and in spite of his circumstances, Samuel, as a 12-year-old, was able to do the right thing and be used of God. Would you go over to Psalm 71, please? And verse 5. Psalm 71. And verse 5. Psalm 71, verse 5. David says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, for thou art my trust from my youth. Young people, listen to me. You can trust the Lord now. You don't have to wait till you grow up. You can trust the Lord now. And you can be responsible in your walk with the Lord now. It is not necessary for you to buy into the world's philosophy that young people don't need to be responsible. Children can be responsible. They can do chores. You can make your bed when you get up in the morning. You can pick your clothes up off the floor and put them in the hamper or put them in the drawer. Hang them up in the closet. You can help with the dishes. You can help clean the house. You can help with the yard work. Somehow we've gotten the idea that all childhood is about is playing. And not only do we push responsibility off until later on in life, we push the things of faith and maturity off until later in life. But then it gets to be too late because young people get used to being irresponsible. And when they should have learned it, they didn't learn it. Then they don't know how to do it later on. It's the same in your walk with the Lord, young people. You don't have to wait until you're an adult to trust God. You don't have to wait until you're an adult to walk with Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, and to please Him with your life. Samuel's 12 years old. And he is called upon to do this extremely difficult task, and he does it well. Here in Psalm 71 and verse 17, notice what it says. David says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. When does God want to begin to teach you, young people? He wants to begin to teach you right now. Whatever age you are, doesn't matter. He wants to begin to teach you right now. Why? David says, "Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." Hitherto. Now that's a word we use every day, isn't it? I looked it up in the dictionary. Because it's not a word I use every day. And the dictionary said, hitherto means every time until now. What are you saying? From my youth, and every time since my youth, all the time since my youth, until now. Because see, in verse 18, David says, now also when I am old and gray-headed. He says, Lord, you taught me in my youth. And ever since, all the time, I've been able to serve you. It is better to prove your usefulness to the Lord when you are young and give him your whole life than to waste even part of it on the silliness of the world. Samuel did it at the age of 12. You can do it whatever age you are. Trust him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Samuel's testimony. We recognize that it was a difficult task you put before him. And it blesses our heart that he passed that test. And when he became a man, he was a mighty prophet and judge of Israel. And used greatly by you in his day. Lord, there are young people in this room right now that you may be calling upon. Even now in their young age, calling upon them and saying, I want you, young person, to serve me with your life. Please. Please call upon our young people to do that, O Lord. And please work in their hearts that they would hear your call, that they would respond to your call, that they would pass every test you put before them, that they would become proven servants and good soldiers for Jesus Christ. And for all of us, whatever age we are, may today be the beginning of a new walk with you in faithfulness and service to your honor and your glory, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.